So this is mine.
Our meeting starts with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all for coming to the court meeting. Our first item is to take public comment, and I have a sign-up sheet, so if someone didn't make a sign-up sheet, I'll let you know. So we have plenty of time for everybody. Typically, we allow 3 minutes to talk, and we'll be timing that just so everybody can go get in. Normally, we would go pro-con, so if you ran out of time, there would be equal representation, but I think we're going to be able to get everybody in, so we'll just go in the order of sign-up. So when you speak, please state your name for our recorder, and if you have questions, address them to me, the chair. Okay, the first person is Sonny Woodward.
I'm Sonny Woodward. I live in Indianola. I'm the kind of person around here. I wanted to share with the commission some information from the Puget Sound Regional Council. So you can take a look at that when you, for your information. Basically, it's information pertaining to the ferry trends right now, the growth of what's projected in Puget Sound, and some of the things that are going on in the Puget Sound area that will go out to 2040. And I think that's one of the things we have to talk about for the future. We have to be able to accept what's going to happen in the future. And there'll be over 1 million people moving into the environment that we're in now in the Puget Sound Basin in the next 20 plus years. So obviously Kitsap is going to receive some of that, and so we do need to take care of that situation. Our ferries are currently really maxed right now, and any of us who have gone to Bainbridge Island and driven in that mess over there, we really are frustrated. I know that. So I just wanted to remind the commissioners that we brought to the state of Washington this whole proposal 20 years ago now, 1998, and they approved $120 million for the passenger ferry service at that time. And then a series of unfortunate events happened. Wake issues, 695, everything else crumbled and went away. And in fact, 53% of all the money that was appropriated for the ferry system was taken away at that time. And since then, they've never come up with a new solution. They've bought a couple of Band-Aid ferries and all this stuff over the years, but that's all that's happened. So we're on a different track. We've come to the party a couple of times and come up with some different ideas for ferries. We had our passenger ferry here. We were able to get a $1 million dock in place over here in Kingston. Bremerton desperately needs this. They've created a boat right now that's passed every test possible for the wake issues, and Southworth is waiting in the wings. So it's time for Kitsap to get into the 21st century.
Thank you, Sonny. Next person is Don Hutchins.
Okay, well, I'm Don Hutchins. I'm a resident up the hill on Ohio Avenue here. I've lived in Kingston for 8 years, but I've been a resident of Kitsap County since 1981. I'm a little bit taken aback by the fact that we're just speaking in order, because I was hoping to hear something from the commission in advance. But nonetheless, I came because I want to very strongly support the fast ferry proposal. In my mind, the two previous attempts have been good ideas, but have been doomed to failure because public transit never pays its own way. Nowhere, ever, anytime. And to expect it to do that here was just insane. It failed for that reason. This proposal makes it part of a state-sponsored public transit system, which makes eminent good sense. This is a link which we badly need. You will have noticed there are no bridges across Puget Sound. If the state and the county want to provide transportation to the only city within a reasonable reach of Kitsap County, they're going to have to do something about ferries. And I think this proposal is terrific. I want to just say I'm fully in favor of it, and I hope, sincerely hope, that it passes. And I hope this commission is behind.
Thank you, Don. The next one person signed up is John Lyon Smith. John.
Yes.
Sorry, I've never addressed one of these calls before, but I'm a regular commuter to Seattle. I'm one of those people that does the 80-minute commute to Cambridge Island on a regular basis, and I'd just like to say I very much support this this proposal to that fast ferry service. I caught the tail end of the last one. I was able to use it a few times, and unfortunately it was cancelled before I got ready to get into it. So one of my concerns is, you know, if this service starts up again, what's the likelihood that it's going to last more than a year? Because I think that would be a very huge tragedy to have it start again and not be successful. I think that some of the things that were obviously things that made it not likely to succeed last time were that it didn't give you any option if you were late in town to get home. You had no really way to get back up to catch a bus and give you a ride from the ferry. So I think that would be something you really need to think about. Just in general, like, what's the reliability of the service if the weather is bad? Are you going to be able to run the ferries? There's a little bit, so that people can at least, before they leave the house in the morning, say, okay, there's 2-foot waves, we're not going to be able to catch the ferry, I have to make alternative plans. Some kind of website maybe that you could post the status of the ferry system. Those kind of things, I think it's a bit like, to make a good meal, you can't just get a bunch of really good ingredients, you have to actually know how to put them together, and I think you've got all the good ingredients, but it's got to be executed well to be successful. So that's really what I have to say.
Mary Leistein, I'm sorry I missed you. Go through the order.
That's okay. I'm Mary Leistein. I live in Kingston. I've worked here since 1977. I'm speaking against the court's endorsement of this measure. And I'd like to address some of the concerns that the previous speaker raised. I have similar reservations about Kitsap Transit's ability to run a cross-town ferry system. I'm a big proponent of mass transportation. I helped get it on the ballot 30 years ago. I feel sort of responsible as having worked so hard on that campaign for the kind of mess that Kitsap Transit's in right now and its inability to provide service in our county. The idea was to provide service for transit-dependent people, to provide some connectivity within Kitsap County. Right now, you can't get to Silverdale for a medical appointment on Kitsap Transit. A kid can't get to Drug Court in Port Orchard and get back in the same day on Kitsap Transit. You can't get to the ferry on Bainbridge or in Bremerton unless you're going on commuter hours on Kitsap Transit. They don't have a very good track record, and when John Clausen was here, he admitted that they haven't really worked on their schedule in 30 years. And I think they need to do that before we encourage them to go on a cross-town venture where they have no experience. And so that's a real concern of mine. And my other concern is the unintended consequence for Kingston and the rest of Kitsap County of cross-town ferry service. And that is, we're experiencing a tremendous problem with homelessness in Kitsap County, and Kingston in particular. And this is going to drive people from Seattle who are looking for affordable housing to Kitsap County, and it's going to displace our friends and neighbors who are marginally housed now. And I don't want to see that happen. I think that the idea of community involves taking care of one another and protecting what we have, and I see a crisis looming.
Thank you, Mary. Cynthia McCurdy.
Oh, you put my name down.
Well, go ahead.
Whatever you want. You don't have to use the whole 3 minutes.
I'm definitely in favor of getting a ferry. I've been excited each time it's been attempted. Very sad when it failed. I've been involved. I know Pete DeBoer very well, and he was so passionate about it. I understand a lot of why they failed and what the restrictions were. Sounds like the technology is better now for the boats and might be well planned mechanically. But like John said, connecting the other commuter transit means as a backup or even to get to the ferry is very essential. Like, I tried to take the Kitsap Transit once to Bainbridge Island to catch ferry, and it arrived 10 minutes after the ferry left, so I had another 40 minutes wait. I was thinking, yeah, it's not that difficult to just try and, you know, match them. So I think it's a bigger effort than just the ferries, although I'm optimistic if we could get a ferry in place that's at least sustainable for a couple of years, we might be able to match up the other issues. But we haven't had a ferry that I've lived here in the last 16 years long enough to even address, you know, coordinating the other efforts. So I'd like to see that happen.
Yeah, one more person, John Rose.
Hi there, I'm John Rose. Thanks for holding this. It's nice to get a chance to share an opinion. So a handful of issues. Bruce, you were there the other night at KCAC, and somebody asked me the question at least three times. What's Kingston going to be like in 20 years? What's your prediction for what it will be like in 20 years? And I said, well, I've been here for 20 years. And if you take the changes from 20 years ago to today, which other than this building, have been quite modest, and extrapolate forward, I think that Kingston, downtown Kingston, you look at today is very much what you're going to see in 20 years. Now, many people moved here because they like downtown Kingston, and it feels to them like it's exactly perfect. But I've also been hanging around a long time and seen so much energy going into the question of how can we make downtown Kingston really vibrant and really serve as an amenity for people, not just in downtown Kingston, but for this whole North End. This is our biggest urban area in the North End, other than Paulsboro. And my answer was, I think Kingston's going to look just like it does today in 20 years unless something happens that is, you know, a step shift in difference. And, you know, we grow at a very slow, steady pace here. And maybe over time, enough growth will add to another restaurant, or maybe two restaurants or something. But it will always be the way it is today unless there's something that is a catalyst to change it. And maybe that's fine. If it's not fine, and we'd like Kingston to be provide more energy back to the community and provide a greater place to build social capital, and the ferry is obviously one of the best solutions to do that. The other thing I like about the ferry is it doesn't have us, and so many people on the North End rely on the Agate Pass Bridge, which has been declared functionally obsolete. And there's been, you know, discussion about how much this costs. Well, there's a problem with that bridge. It's a $160 million replacement. If you just try to add capacity to the Agate Pass Bridge, that is, you know, I don't know what that number is, but it's going to be super inefficient to try to add a lane. They've already tried so many ways to add capacity to that area. And so there's really no solution to that that's going to be anything less than, you know, a very, very big capital investment. And the easiest way to add capacity to 305 is to take ridership away from it so we're all less dependent on it. And, you know, we are very transportation constrained. I think having another way out of North Kitsap that doesn't rely on getting over the bridge is good and healthy and provides a measure of resiliency to the North End. This isn't the same as the last attempt. The last attempt was fantastic and heartfelt and valiant. But at the end of the day, it was the port trying to get the thing launched. The port has a staff of 10 or less. Kitsap Transit has a staff of 400. They are not experienced in driving boats, but they are partnering with the Marine Division of King County, who does have experience. There's been a lot of worry about, well, if we get that boat, we'll have rampant growth, but it's different today than it was 20 years ago. We have our comprehensive plans have all been put in place. We have great planning for Kingston. We have water resources planning. We have wastewater treatment planning. We have allocated places for growth, so it isn't going to hopscotch all over creation. So we're ready for this. And then regionally, you know, I mean, it's very reasonable for residents of Kingston to say, is it good for us? That's all we care about. But the reality is this region, you know, is under a great deal of pressure, and cross-town traffic is just, and commuting and trade across the water is just going to happen. And it would be great if it happened now, because it is the way for the future. And for this region to continue to function, we have to get off our addiction to asphalt on I-5. I mean, it's just, we're completely constrained there, and this doesn't add a single square foot of asphalt, but gets people from this area over to access better jobs. There's some chance affordability will be less of an issue if people have access to jobs, because we just do not have the jobs here. We don't have them. And I think that can be something that that helps, you know, raise the tides for all people that live in this area. It's not without consequences. Nothing is, but doing nothing has had a consequence as well. And we're kind of mired in our stasis at the moment.
Excuse me, John. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Okay. For the information of the audience, we did get email comments. We will read them. Are they available on the front?
They are available in the public copy if they want to see them. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you for the public comment. We'll move on. Just for one observation, the port's only role in this ferry will be we provide a dock. We are not running it or financing it or whatever, but the boat will tie up by the way our red boat is now. So that's really our role in it. And I'd move on to our discussion of the resolution and endorsement of the ballot measure.
Well, I guess I'm at the end of the line, so I'll speak first. I think I have perhaps a perspective that's unique to this room, in that not only did I ride the Sound Runner, the port's passenger-only ferry, for a year and a half, but I also served on the advisory committee that was appointed to get it restarted after it had its initial startup and problems. I agree with much of what everyone has said tonight. I think that there are going to be consequences. There are problems. For example, we don't know what the parking impact will be in the port's parking lot. It's certainly going to be impacted by that. There's a finite limit there. But like so many other things, I think if we start trying to do something, we'll be able to handle the problems and deal with them as they come up. If we wait till they're all solved, we won't get started. The things I like about this proposal is, number one, on POFAC we came up with a pro forma as to how the Sound Runner could work. It was a three-legged stool, we called it. You had the fare box, you had grants, and you had special events like Seahawks games or Sounders games. And we had hope that if those three legs could get built, it could be self-sustaining. Obviously, those legs didn't get built. It didn't work. But in place of that, here we have dedicated dollars from sales tax. They can't be, as I understand it, and the presentations I've seen, those dollars can't be diverted to anything else. They are for passenger-only ferry only. If I know that the Kitsap Transit, for all the years I commuted to Seattle, I would look at that and just think it wouldn't work for me, because when we lived on Bainbridge, there weren't enough buses in the hours that I had to commute, or when I lived up here, it was already such a long ride. And again, the predictability of meshing the two schedules made it a problem. So hopefully Kitsap Transit will work on those, but I don't worry about these dollars being diverted to that, and I don't worry about this project taking dollars away from that, because this is new money. So I think that, you know, perhaps the Kitsap Transit's projections of ridership are a little optimistic. I hope I'm wrong. My judgment's based on what I saw with our experience here in Kingston. But I think that it is a different time. Sound Runner got started at an unfortunate time in, what, 2009? And hopefully the economy will not cut the legs out from under development again in the next 5 years. So I intend to vote in support of the ballot initiative personally, and based on the comments that I've heard from people tonight and the written comments, then I would support a resolution as well.
I've also been around since the first conversations about passenger ferry, and I have felt from the early 90s that it was an important thing to add to Kingston, that you don't ever get to just stay still and stay what you are, that you either go up or down, whatever that ends up looking like. And I don't see any question that we will end up with more people in Kingston 3 years from now than we have now. And I don't think that everyone who comes to Kingston is going to work in Kingston in any event. I don't think we're ever building enough of anything in Kitsap County that everyone who lives here, it's just not realistic. And we are part of the job shed, the employment shed of King County in Seattle. And when I think about my own, I hear so many parents say, I wish my kids would stay here, including me. I wish my kids would stay here, but they're never going to stay here as long as it has the transportation challenge, and they both work in Seattle. And I think we are charged with trying to be wise about what the future we're creating for our children, not just ourselves. But I also think that, and someone spoke to this earlier, the people that live here are the people that know each other and can bring other people into that knowing of each other and continue to have the amazing community that we have. And it can be more than just a shopping thing. It can continue to be a magical amenity in Kingston and for the whole North End. But I guess I am more concerned about Kingston being wonderful, or continuing and getting even more wonderful. So I hear the questions about Plan B, and there's lots of aspects of Plan B. Is Kitsap Transit's energy going to be spent too much on this and not enough on, quote, real transit service? What do you do about all of the operational glitches? But I also had someone from the community ask me, so would you consider supporting this with provisos? And I said, you know, man, the time for provisos is too late and too early. The too early, until we know what the glitches are that need to be solved, we can't ask for a solution. We have to have a program that has enough flexibility. And in my conversations with transit, I think there is a very strong recognition and expectation that problem-solving flexibility is going to be required, partnerships are going to be required, and that's how it'll move forward. And we'll figure it out to some extent as we go along, given that there is a basic funding floor that we can build off of. And I can't think of a reason not to support the passenger only ferry ballot. And I think it is a question in my own mind whether it's the port's right role to do that. And I have come to a pretty resounding, if not this, then what? what are we about if we can't look forward and say, yes, we can endorse good growth, growth that we can envision an outcome that makes us smile instead of weep. So I am very supportive.
My support, if you read my columns, I support it. But, you know, our mission is economic development. And I hear John loud and clear that we're going to do a project to try to figure out how we can use our properties for economic development. But that's really just an ancillary thing that will fill in when the workers come here, when the jobs come here, and the people come here to do that. I saw the town ramp up from the late 80s through the 90s, downtown Kings, attracted a lot of investment. Mm-hmm. Then the recession came, and now there's empty storefronts. And I agree with John, it's going to take something more than what we can do. And by the way, our study's going to look at without a ferry and without a ferry. So at the KCAC meeting, there was a young person who had come here from Alabama. He was a tech worker downtown. He was saying, you know, you're the new San Francisco. And I'm thinking, I didn't believe that. So about 2 days later, I'm driving to a meeting, driving through South Lake Union, and I'm with a techie guy. He says, oh, that's where Zillow's going to be. That's where HP's going to be. That's where Amazon's going to be. That's where, I mean, he had about a half a dozen of corporate headquarters that are moving to South Lake Union. And then, well, it could have been a tech stock listing and a whole bunch of technical centers to support that. So his point was, it cost me $700,000 to find a house that I can drive within an hour of work, as opposed to coming to Kingston where I can buy a house for half of that. So I think we are a tremendous bedroom market. Now, you might say, well, they're just commuters. But they're friends, they're neighbors, they pay the taxes, they will support the businesses. The problem with Kingston is we have more retail space than we have a market. We built out George's Corners, expanded retail out there, and then we didn't get the people living here to do that. So I see this as important. I was really disappointed in the Herald's editorial, which I didn't understand this weekend.
I wasn't here.
Oh, the Sun's editorial. Yeah, I didn't read it. I didn't understand what they were talking about. And it's the thing is, there is a lot of uncertainty. And that's just the way these things are. There's rider uncertainty. There's, you know, will the vessels hit things and all? Will it make its money? I think that's a risk we're willing to take. Kingston's a big winner in this program. If I lived on the Hood Canal, I might not say that. I might say I'd never take the ferry. I'd take go across the Colonel's Bridge. But this is very good for us. Now, Mary brings up a good point. The comp plan has got to work. You know, the Kitsap County, I guess we used that with too many southern area plans now. That plan has got to be able to work. We can control our growth and our quality of life. So I kind of think with the Village Green, the completion of school complex, add a ferry to that, and we are a perfect community for young families, which is the other issue. We're all getting older. And how do you get young working age families to want to live here? Well, access to jobs. I think that's as important as anything. So I support this, and I hear what Mary's saying. We can't take our eye off the ball on what's happening in our community. So that's, yeah.
I think there would be some real value in reflecting back to Kitsap Transit the concern that we need circulator service in Kingston, we need connectivity to the rest of the county, in addition to the Plan B issues around the transit, the passenger ferry, and not as a quid pro quo, because as I say, I don't think this is the moment for that, but as the menu of what we all have to be working on together. And
could staff summarize those type of comments from what we heard here?
Of course.
You have a recording, and there were suggestions and issues raised that we'll be, and then we can send it on to them.
Of course.
Okay. Anything else, Bruce?
No. I don't think so. I mean, I think we pretty well discussed it. I don't know if you were going to ask for more public comment, if anybody else has any additional thoughts.
Anyone want a rejoinder? Yes, Sonny.
In this plan, it does provide an extra $1.5 million in free up money for bus service. So when this thing, if this goes together, there'll be more money mm-hmm. for bus service. So that might solve some of the problems that are currently people that have heartburn with the current way things are laid out. But that won't solve it all, of course. Mm-hmm. But that would certainly help. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah. Talking about in the Joseph Sonny's comments is he takes the Sounder train often because he commutes from here to Seattle, but oftentimes the Sounder train is out of commission from a mudslide or mm-hmm. what goes wrong, but they always have a bus backup, and he can rely on that, but even if the train goes out, he's got a way to get into Seattle. So if there was a budget that reassure people there's some way that they're very reliable that way or something. But it's just, I used to hear people say a lot when I would take the commuter ferry, if they wouldn't take it, they would take an extra trip to Bainbridge Island to do their normal because they couldn't depend on the fact that the ferry would be there. And I thought that was a sad thing, but it kind of was part of the demise.
Yeah, that will be one of the challenges for the passenger-only ferry if it is passed, is establishing a reputation of reliability and predictability, because as a 25-year commuter to Seattle, you don't change your routine lightly, and you have to know that it's going to work.
I have a question. Who hasn't
spoken? 30 years ago, I lived on Bainbridge, and I did the commute from Bainbridge to Seattle, 35. The ferry was very unreliable, and one of the biggest concerns was if you move on to Bainbridge Island, you can't depend on the ferry to go from Bainbridge to Seattle on time, so if you have an appointment, you're going to have problems. That was very, very prevalent at that time, and Bainbridge was able to overcome that by consistency. So it's not something that Bainbridge did not face back in the 35, 40 years, I guess it was. They did not, you know, they had to face that same kind of question we're facing right now. And the only answer to that is demonstration. You can do all the planning you want and all the rest of it, but, you know, it is just simply demonstration. And to this day, as you will, if you give your little ferry alert, you know, kind of thing, you know, Bainbridge is out because they ran it into the dock, or, you know, such and such broke down. You have that sort of thing, and everyone says it's okay. So you cannot depend on it to be, you know, carved in stone. But if Bainbridge could accomplish that, you know, 40, 30 years ago, then surely Kingston can accomplish it with all of the technology that we have today. In other words, we're not back there starting from way back then. We are where we are now. There's surely, you know, it's achievable.
That's a good point, because Vashon Island Ferry is being run by King County Metro Transit, and they're running reliably, as I hear. I haven't heard from the Vashon Islanders, and they complain that they have a problem, mm-hmm. much issue with that service. So.
Just out of curiosity, and I don't know the answer to this question, the reliability problems that the Spirit of Kingston made were seaworthiness issues. When you get a 5-foot vertical chop out there, suddenly that relatively little catamaran can't handle it. And turns around and goes back into the pier. Do we know how seaworthy, or how the seaworthiness of these fast catamarans that they're proposing now compare to the Spirit of Kingston's ability to handle that kind of weather?
Well, I can comment a little bit on the Spirit of Kingston, because I was here.
It wasn't the boat that couldn't handle it, it was their passengers. Typically, the boat could handle weather that passing, well, you were a rider, perhaps you would know that, that would too much for rash. So one of the management would go down, they want the commissioners or the director, and when it's bouncing around, they go out and see him, and they'd say, no, it's too rough. Pete did a lot of that. So it was typically that. I don't know about the boat. I think it's a bigger boat, but not that much bigger. It's 250 passengers, and yeah, ours was 200, something like that.
Something like that.
So it's a bit bigger.
Because the reliability thing will kill. If you find that three or four times a month your run isn't going because the weather's too bad, that's going to kill us. You've got to have a boat and a crew that will make the run unless there is a serious danger of the boat foundering. You know, you can't go back because somebody's seasick. That's not a good plan. They've got to commit.
In Boston, going across the little harbor, it's choppy.
Oh,
nobody
yeah.
turns back.
Because Hatsarin had to answer those questions. Yeah. I just know our experience was more when people felt that this is just way too rough and we could have people falling and hitting themselves.
I think that's one point in favor of the Kitsap Transit's plan to have King County Water or King County Marine Transit, whatever their name is, operate the vessel, because they have the experience of doing it and they've built the record of reliability. It's not going to be Kitsap Transit having to learn it from the ground up. And I think that was a smart design on their part to do it that way.
They're using stock boats on Vashon Island Run from Seattle, about the same size. So it's a typical commercial catamaran.
My guess is that the run from Vashon is much more protected water than, I mean, we're right out in the middle of the fetch here. So we get some pretty rough water out there.
Yeah,
Kitsap Transit does have a lot of experience running the passenger ferry between Port Orchard and Bremerton, but it's a very protected, very protective coast. But they're not blind to what the issues are, I guess.
A lot of the boats that are made for all over the world is made right here in Puget Sound. One of the biggest boat builders and one of the advisors to Kitsap Transit is Matt Mullett, the owner of All American Marine in Bellingham. And he's built over 100 of these cat boats for all over the world. And one of the things that I remember them talking about more, getting into a more stretched boat that's a little longer, but it's a lower profile. If you've seen the Ridge Passage 1, it's a lower profile. It only holds 118 people, but it has just a cabin above it for the skipper, but it's all on one level. And the two-story boats, or like the Spirit of Kingston, was stacked, and it's short and choppy like this, so the longer boats seem to do well. Now, I've been on the Ridge Passage, and believe it or not, it's capable of over 40 miles an hour. And it's just an incredible boat to ride on, smooth as silk. But we do have Jeff Head out here that water stacks up in, and that's the only area that would be of concern, I think, and so our boat, or the boats that go build for Kingston, might have to be a little bigger in size for that particular deal. But for Bremerton, they need that Ridge Passage 1 duplicated with another boat because it has the ability to run with no wake. And that's their big drama down there. Down at Southworth, I don't think they have a problem at all. And their route would be actually faster.
Any more comments? Yes, Mary?
I think we're deluding ourselves if we think that this is, that people who ride this ferry are going to spend their tax dollars in Kingston or in North Kitsap. I think that people who work in Seattle tend to get their hair done in Seattle, tend to go to the doctor on their lunch hour in Seattle. People from Kingston will go to dinner in Seattle, go to the theater in Seattle, go to movies in Seattle. I think you shouldn't place too much hope on this being a windfall economically to our community. And the second thing I'd like to just urge you is go ahead and support the idea of passenger-only ferry in principle. It's a great idea. Mass rapid transportation, anything you can do to get cars off the road is a wonderful idea. Support it in principle, but don't support this proposition because there's too much uncertainty.
Thank you. There's two Johns.
Yeah, I just had a question to the board about the, you mentioned the infrastructure of parking. I was curious about that and whether there's enough capacity and whether the pier is in good condition and how long, you know, you need to get the dock ready and everything and kind of what's the situation there? Do you have the money to do it? I mean,
conceptually, the one that will be updating the facilities, and that is part of their initial investment business plan. I don't have the data, but that's in their business plan on what they will do to Kingston. They'll probably replace that long gantry, but the Verlaine is in good shape. That's the barge that you will move off on. So that's what I've heard about. They have not raised that as an issue, that the infrastructure needs much work. What will drive Kingston is the time it takes to build a boat to run from Kingston. Nothing else. The shore infrastructure is good enough.
Comments about paying tax dollars here. Both of us commute to Seattle. I've lived here 16 years. He's lived here six years. This is our favorite place on earth. We've lived in other countries too, but we prefer to shop here, to get our hair done here, to spend time with our friends and family here. This is where we want to spend our time. We only go to Seattle when stuff isn't here for us. And I do think that having more access will bring more business in for us to be able to do that. But every chance we get, you know, our favorite restaurants are over here. And we'll stop and have a drink after work if we have an evening event in Seattle, like a soccer box or something. But
John, you wanted to comment?
Well, something we can never be that certain of is constant and consistent funding for the WSDOT ferry system. It is always under attack. The current ferry system that WSDOT runs, its funding is absolutely not a certainty from year to year. Eastern Washington raises a fuss every year that they don't want to spend money on boats in Western Washington. And it's not bad to have something that we can rely on ourselves, and we don't have to rely on a fight in the legislature, because the legislature has not robustly funded the WSDOT system. And it's a tough sell in Eastern Washington. I think there's lots of reasons why we subsidize all the road networks to have zero people driving on them, but it's not a certainty, and it's a constant complaint of the ferry system that we are not adequately funding the boats on that system. So having our own system that we rely on for ourselves, it feels good to me.
Yeah, a couple of comments about the whole regional aspect of this and that very question. Because a concern I've had is watching how the whole regional and statewide system works financially, is if we have that capability to basically survive decreases in funding, does it make it easier for WSDOT to turn around and say, oh, they don't really need this? And I finally decided that just wasn't worth worrying about, that the redundancy and resiliency was more important. And at the same time, another facet of my support comes from the nature of growth management, which essentially says you put your public dollars where you want the growth to be. And we've done that in Kingston. Kingston is, I think you commented on this, Walt, set for growth. Look at our school system. It's for young people. It's for people who are working in millennial-type jobs. And we need the infrastructure to enable that to happen. And or we will start losing the support at the state and county level for all the cool things that we want to happen here or to continue happening here. And I do think Kingston's role as a growth magnet in the North End is a very serious responsibility that we need to think about. I think about constantly how Kingston can remain the place I want to live the rest of my life at the same time that it attracts a whole lot of people that use a lot more technical devices than I even know how to interface, right? You know, which you probably got that. So, anyway, yeah.
If I could make one comment, Sonny and I were at a stakeholders meeting. Actually, Bruce, you were there for a while too. We had a presentation. What was her name, Sonny? The Trails and Park.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. And it was actually an amazing presentation about what Kingston and this area of the peninsula is developing from a tourism point of view. And she made one comment that really hit home to me, and that was, we are Seattle's backyard. And if we can be Seattle's backyard for recreation, sports, and adventure, getting the Seattle people to come here and spend their money would be a wise thing, as well as providing service for commuters going the other way.
I think WashDOT will fund ferries. I follow that very closely. But you have to keep in mind that the ferry system was built as a highway system. So for Kingston, it's State Route 104. And that's different. That means taking your car across and going to Seattle, or having to deal with the mode shift through Snow King system, which is not coupled to ferries. Sounder train, they build their schedule from leaving Everett, because we don't pay into Sounder. So if that train doesn't match with our schedule, no skin off their nose, because we're not paying for Sound Transit. So I think we have a tremendous opportunity of using our water resources here, you know, to move people better than more roads, in a way, you know. And I think that's really the beauty of this system. It's it doesn't have to cross these political divisions. It doesn't have to follow a highway. You don't have to take a car. I can get on a boat, one of these boats, and be in Seattle in 40 minutes. How could I get to Seattle without take my car would take me a lot longer, cost me a lot more. I could take the bus, if it's during commuter hours, down to Bainbridge, but if it's not in commuter hours, I can't do it. I can't think of anything lower cost or more convenient than the passenger ferry. And I'm a senior, so I'll get the $6 fares. But seriously, I think this is a tremendous resource, and we're poised on being able to use it to do a lot of good things.
There's another aspect that I haven't heard addressed, but if we have a good, quick link, reliable link, from here to downtown Seattle, to the ferry Coleman Dock complex, that means we've got a public transport, easy, quick, and cheap public transport option to get to the airport. Mm-hmm. Most of us who live here fly in and out of here on a fairly regular basis, and it's a nightmare to get to the airport from Kitsap County unless you get in your car, drive around, and pay $30 a day to park. You know, this is beautiful from the standpoint of you could be at the airport in less time than it takes to drive there, and it costs almost nothing, and no parking fees involved. So that's another big benefit of this. And it's another reason I think it's important this proposal includes service in other than just regular commuter hours. That was one of the fatal flaws of the previous attempts, was they couldn't see clear to give us other than commuter hour runs. And people don't fly in commuter time. They fly in other times. So that's another big plus to this thing.
Or go to a doctor's appointment or something. Always just in commuter hours.
I hear you there. I'm my age.
Yeah.
Let me follow up on that. Don, you mentioned something about getting the SeaTac. About 10 years ago, Cascadia formed a transportation study of Puget Sound, and some of us in this room were on that group, and we met for 6 or 8 months over in Seattle. And they identified 21 different routes inside of Puget Sound in the San Juans that would actually be a practical place for passenger ferries to go. Then they reduced that down to 8 runs, that they thought for sure could pay for themselves. Then they reduced that down to 3 runs. And guess which 3 they were? These 3. Interesting note, when you go from South Worth to Seattle on a passenger boat, which it's hypothetical at this point because we haven't done that, but it's like 20 minutes. Okay, our run is 33 minutes. If you took that same ferry and ran it to Des Moines, it takes 10 minutes. Des Moines is 1 mile from SeaTac. 1 mile. Think about that. So there's all kinds of things that would develop off of this program. We're tied to Everett at the hip. So who knows? If this thing was to evolve itself into a certain situation, there's other things that could be accomplished just by the startup of this program, and we start to see what could actually happen. There's really a lot of opportunities way beyond just this little commuter run that we talked about in the massive influx of the tourism and the bike people and all these other things into the parks and everything that we're proposing. It's gigantic when you think about it.
That was, you know, when I came here, Bainbridge Island was a bedroom community. This was, you know, 20-odd years ago. Now it's got businesses. It started as a subsidiary, John, you were there longer, to Seattle, but now you hear of all these small companies that have started up in Bainbridge Island. So people came over there to live and then start up. So it's more than just, it'll develop over time, I think. And I think we'll see startups here in time, just like you have in Bainbridge Island, John.
Mary, I don't know if the commuters are going to create economic development and spend money at restaurants downtown, but I do know that on Bainbridge Island, the restaurants there get about 30-50% of their annual revenues from people who walk off the boat. And they walk off, they patronize restaurants that could not possibly survive without them. And while they're doing so, they create a very vibrant downtown. Some people don't like tourists. I love them because of the energy they bring and the hopefulness that your little bird is good enough to take time out of my precious vacation. And they add positive energy. I mean, everybody's excited when they get off the boat to see the new little town. And that's the economic development that happens. And it gets off the boat, it drops money, it gets back on the boat, and it goes back to Iowa. But I would say 50% of all the revenues that restaurants in that downtown get, and the shops and the ice cream place and the candy store come from walk-on, walk-offs that visit and go back.
I do think sure. The other half of that, though, is when you have that vibrant community, then people say, I want to live there. And entrepreneurs would prefer to start their business near where they live, hands down. And they go there because they have to. And over, the new business formation is driven by entrepreneurs within 10 to 15 miles of where they live. And that's the other longer-term piece of economic development that I think we would fall out of this or grow out of this over time.
Well, I'd also encourage sort of big thinking is, you know, what's going on at Bainbridge right now. There's lots of folks who raised their kids in the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s, and they're living in big suburban houses that are completely inappropriate. And they don't want to leave the island. They want to live downtown. And so right now, there's no place for them to go. There's no availability of housing downtown. But it's also, you know, if you get a place that's vibrant enough that is really, really walkable, folks, as they get older, if you have the appropriate housing, will not leave your community. And because they don't want to leave. They never wanted to leave the community in the first place. So kids who can't find jobs leave the community to go get a job. Folks, as they age and want to downsize, need single-level living, but they still want to be part of the action. Part of the baby boomer generation, we still like to party, we like to go out, and we still like energy and to socialize, and that's part of what downtown, if you go to downtown now, you will see so many people that have, you know, instead of moved to Arizona, they've moved to downtown, and so it really creates and they carry the legacy of all those relationships that they built over 20, 30 years raising a family. And they all have dogs. Every single one of them walks their dog at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, sure.
I think I want to give a lot of thought to the concern that people moving in will displace the marginally or fragile households economically.
You saw that on Bainbridge. Talk about the boom on Bainbridge and Bainbridge being a bedroom community. There were third generation people on Bainbridge who hadn't walked out of them because they couldn't afford to live there anymore. Yeah. I mean, not all of us in Kingston are frequent flyers. a lot of your friends and neighbors don't have the wherewithal to leave on an airplane. Seriously. There's a side of Kingston that the people in this room do not see and do not know. Mm-hmm. And they're the people I'm concerned about.
I don't know that the existence or not of the passenger ferry is where the answers to that lie, actually. I think I'm really want in a different moment to know more about what Kingston Cares is actually doing in terms of housing initiatives and that sort of thing. Because I think that is one of the downstream results of what looks like prosperity, and but as I say, I don't. It doesn't change my support for the passenger ferry in and of itself.
One thing we've seen with the big ferries is the fare increases have driven the low-income people off the big ferries.
Yeah.
So people used to commute those on those ferries, regular jobs, lower-paying jobs, and I don't know if they're still those type of jobs in Seattle, but they're blue-collar workers who used to ride the ferries. They can't afford to do it now.
I would like to ask Kitsap Transit of the stuff that comes out, what has happened, you know, what other resources are people using now if they can't afford the ferry?
At the Continuum Care Housing Coalition meeting of all the people who provide housing or look at housing solutions in Kitsap County, Kitsap Transit made their presentation to them. And they pointed out, the service providers, that this proposition is not going to benefit low-income people because even though there's going to be a subsidy for low-income riders or a discounted fee, that the jobs that low-income people could hold in Seattle are going to be restaurant jobs, hotel industry jobs, where they're not going to be able to get home after work because the ferry's going to cut off at a certain hour. And then once they get home, there's no connector service from Kitsap Transit after 7 o'clock. They're not going to be able to get home from the ferry, even if the ferry would get them back to Bremerton. So it doesn't serve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Mary's concern is a very valid one, and I agree with Mary, that whether or not the passenger-only ferry is approved will not cure the problem that you've highlighted for us. I mean, we moved off of Bainbridge because we ended up in Kingston because we took a look down the road and realized we're not going to be able to afford to retire here. And I think that's indicative of what has happened in Bainbridge. I would hope that we'll be a bit smarter in Kingston in terms of being able to provide for the people who need more help and make sure that we do have affordable housing here that doesn't escalate beyond the ability of people to pay for it. I see one advantage in the kinds of jobs you were just talking about, the restaurants and the hotels, the service industry, service sector jobs. If we do get more people here, because people living here will eat dinner here, and you know, I always got my hair cut on Bainbridge, and I still do, is those types of businesses create jobs. And those aren't the best paying jobs in the world, and I don't know how well you can support a growing family on that. But it's a start. It's an entry point. And it gives people an opportunity to get work experience and start going. And if we have a vibrant downtown, that will almost by definition include retail and restaurants. And I don't think we're going to have a hotel downtown here for a while, but there are other hotels being built around here that will, again, provide jobs and give people those kinds of entry-level employment that is so vital to getting started.
I think it's kind of like growth management, you've got to manage it. But something tells me if we don't grow our economy, it stagnates. It's not helping people out. And probably more so at the lower end of the wage scales than the higher end of the wage scales, because the higher people can afford to go where the money is. But if our economy stays stagnant here in Kingston, then the inflation goes up. It's tough. Yes, John?
The Bainbridge effect is very, very real. They're in a constant discussion about affordable housing. So it is real. But things that amplify the Bainbridge effect is they don't have a plan that calls for robust housing expansion. It is very, very hard. They don't have a plan that's, you know, very robust, that looks down the road to accommodate regional growth. That's the first point. The second point is, right now you have this gigantic county of kids at. I mean, geographically we're huge, and then we're some 300,000 or so people. Bainbridge is the only location with a 30-minute ride. So, of course, it's amplified on Bainbridge. If the proposal passes, there's going to be four short-time rides, which means the impact is right now, that whole impact of the 30-minute ride is focused on one dock, and it's in Bainbridge Island. And if you take the 30-minute ride, and it stretches from Southworth to Bremerton to Bainbridge to Kitsap, it is going, and not have car ferries, not be able to take cars. Okay, so without the cars, it's going to de-amplify the impact. But you're spreading it across the whole of Kitsap, and so it isn't just going to be Kingston. The impact is going to be spread out from the north to the south. It isn't just going to be almost, oh my God, now everybody's coming to Kingston. No, they're going to keep going to Bainbridge. They're going to go in greater numbers to Bremerton and Silverdale. They're going to go to Southworth, and they're going to go to Kingston. So it's not just adding one. We'll have four quick rides to Seattle, and the impact in terms of the amplitude of housing impact is going to be spread out. And it's going to be much muted, much more muted than you feel on Bainbridge today. Mm-hmm. In fact, I mean, right now you have folks of sort of middle income earners. They're going to keep coming to Kingston because it's still a better commute to go from Kingston to Seattle than it is from Marysville to Seattle. And the only difference is they're going to have to drive through a backup and put more burden on 305. So if this was only a Kingston ferry, I'd be worried more about the impact on affordability. But there's a lot of housing capacity in Southport, Bremerton, and in Kingston, and that impact's going to be shared by all of us. No one place is going to spike up.
Any more discussion? Is there a motion to support a statement in support of the staff can draw in support of the ballot measure?
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay, and can you, the motion is to for staff to prepare a motion or a statement sent to the commissioners to support the passenger ferry ballot measure. Is that fair?
So when does that?
Or it could be as simple as a motion to endorse the ballot initiative number one.
And staff can announce that anyway. Yeah. So the motion is to endorse the ballot.
This seems important to
thank
do
you.
It tonight.
Yes, and so time. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
So no opposed. Okay, thank you. The rest is some routine business, but you're welcome to stay. The next item on the schedule is the future of Kingston, near future of Kingston Express. Staff, do you want to Jim, you want to talk about it?
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for the comments. Well, like any boat, the Kingston Express needs some maintenance. We had a diver out the other day to check the zincs and realize that the bottom's going to need recoating. This is an important piece of maintenance. I have tentatively scheduled to pull the boat in Port Townsend October 24th. We've gotten two bids from Marine Trades up there to do the bottom. And the bids to prep and paint the bottom are $10,000, and the port bill for hauling and blocking and storage is $3,000. So we're looking at about a $13,000 expenditure, but obviously those of us that know boats, when you pull them out of the water, things happen. So I would like to ask if the commissioners would so desire a limit of spending no more than $15,000 on this maintenance haul out.
Jim, would it be a good time to do a haul survey?
We are going to do a haul survey.
So we'll have that documented for a future. So we may not have to pull it out if somebody wants to buy it, but survey. Yeah.
So we just had it surveyed in water. When we pull it, we'll have a haul survey, and I'm also going to call the Coast Guard to come and inspect the bottom also. So that way we'll have a COI from pulled out of the water, which is no charge for us. But it's great to have it done while it's out of the water.
Any questions?
Yes. $13,000, not to exceed $15,000. Because I'm making the assumption that if it turned out it was actually probably going to be $16,000 or $17,000, that doesn't necessarily mean we're not going to do it. It just means that you'll come back for further authorization.
So this quote looks at a 10-day haul-out period, so if we needed to call a special meeting or anything. The diver was pretty thorough in going over the whole boat to clean the prop, clean the front bow thrusters. He says it needs paint. He didn't see any other major stuff like corrosion or anything else that we should be concerned with. So it looks like a routine haul-out. We just need to do that.
Well, I move we authorize staff to have the Kingston Express hauled out and have the bottom painted in Port Townsend for amount not to exceed $15,000.
Second.
Discussion.
I think it's just one of those things you have to do. That's one of the reasons why I own aluminum canoes that can sit upside down behind my garage.
Thank you for that discussion. All in favor of the ballot measure?
You mean the...
You meant the motion.
The Kingston Express hauling schedule. I'll let staff correct and reinterpret what I said. Okay, the next one is the rental of a tent for Chamber of Commerce holiday events.
So we've talked about this for some time, and I'm a pretty... active member with the Chamber Events Committee. And in the past, one of the problems was where to put Santa Claus when he comes in with the weather and everything else. The Chamber really would like to have some kind of a shelter for this for the kids. I mean, our Christmas light decoration is second to none in the area. It's a big event. I tried to keep the existing tent up with Kitsap County, and unfortunately they won't allow me to extend our permit. So the tent is coming down next week. One of the ideas that came up at the events committee is what would it cost to rent a tent? So staff did the numbers. It's about $945 for the weekend to put up a tent and take it down. There was some talk about keeping it up for a week and maybe have hot chocolate and cider while we watch the lights, but the expense gets pretty expensive. It goes up to $1,500 if we keep it for the week. The Chamber is really only asking for that weekend of the second, third, and fourth. That's when we turn on the lights and Santa Claus comes. So I think it's a good investment. It's within my spending authority, but I wanted to have a discussion with the commission to see if this is something that you would think is a priority.
Does this actually come out of the advertising budget item?
It can. We haven't placed it where it comes in.
But just think about that. Conceptually, how are you thinking about this?
It wouldn't be promotional.
Right.
Yeah.
Does the prices quoted include taking it up and putting it down? They do all the work. Won't be our staff having to do it, right?
We don't have to do anything. They'll come and put it up on a Friday afternoon and take it down on a Monday afternoon.
You had mentioned putting it up on a slab. Are we going to have to put more mounting bolts into the slab?
No. We already have.
But it's a small tent.
It's a small tent, but they feel that they can do it.
They can do it with us.
Okay. Yeah, they came and inspected the site. They know exactly what they're getting into, and they didn't think this was a problem at all.
Okay.
Just, I don't know, I'm really not being a cynic or a pessimist or anything like that. But is this going to become an every year event? In other words, is this a one-time event, or are we going to be looking at the same expense future years?
Well, we've had some discussion on the future of that site, and if in fact that site becomes some kind of a public access site with a permanent building on it, obviously we can do that. We can use that center. But as long as it's a slab and as long as it's successful, I think the community will come to expect this, just like they have the light display and everything else that we do during the holiday period.
No, that's certainly not a reason in my mind to not do it, but it's one of those things we should know what we're getting into. And
yeah, I think it's one of the promotional things that really returns dollars to our community compared to other stuff or advertising or memberships or things. But this is, you know, I hear from the downtown businesses, well, anybody can make money in the summer. It's the rest of the year that the business is really struggling. So having a winter event, I think, is helps our downtown economy. So I see the return.
Yeah, I wish there was a way we could get more bang for the buck in terms of more weekend periods. I understand the problems of trying to staff it during the week and provide, you know, donuts and cider or whatever. Even if we could get local businesses to pitch in on that, keeping the tent up for an extended period of time would have permitting problems as well as benefits.
So I think we had an issue before is if you do an extended November through December, you go through the high wind season and possible snow loads, and our tent being the age that it is, it presents risk to the structure of the tent. I remember recall 30 knot winds, but that's not what a tent is old as this one. So I think extending this tent season has risk.
That is one of the things we considered is we're allowed by the county statute to have it up for 6 months. We now put it up in May and have to take it down for November. We could shift that a month, put it up in June, and keep it through the first week in December. But you're right, it is a risk. But there could be snow, it could be winds. But that way we could keep our large tent up through the first week in December and not have to do this. We would have to re-coordinate with Kiwanis. They have the program the last week in May, I think. But if they could move that a week, I think we could make it work for everybody without an additional expense.
Can you reach that to the events committee if we shift to the window? Do we get use from visiting yacht clubs in May?
Not much, but we can look at it.
Yeah, one of the issues I remember from before is putting it away wet, which I understand is a problem that sort of drives when they can take it down because they have to pick a day when it's not wet to take it down. And if we did carry
and calm.
If we did carry it into December, we might have more problems with that. So I'm not sure that's the solution. I'm hoping we'll come up with a longer-term solution for that piece of property,
right,
for too much longer. But the in the meantime, I think we should probably assume that we're going to be doing at least a tent proposal like this each year until then.
If we look at a later season, I wouldn't mind
some serious look at snow loading, because we have had Thanksgiving snowstorms and wind loading, you know, for the maximum winds that you see in our, that area. Just, well, it's all that. So I like that looked into, but we got plenty of time to, it's not a balanced decision, so.
But on that same vein, this is a different tent, and it's owned by the company that would put it up, and their insurance would cover any problem.
If it blows down, it's their problem.
Do they, does that include any indemnification for us if their tent blows down and injures someone?
Good question. I haven't asked that question.
Probably worth asking.
We might check with insurance. Are we covered for?
Well, we're covered. But is Advanced Rentals covered for any injury that it might cause?
Well, I'd just like to touch with our own insurer, risk manager, and ask them if there's anything we need to think about in terms of our risk management of having a tent up in December.
Okay.
My sense is once we get, we do it 1 year, we are talking about building out the, you know, changing the basic shape of the existing office building, which, as I was sitting here fantasizing, I can't visualize the picture, but we could potentially end up with a retractable awning that came out that could be used. That, I mean, I just think this will open up a lot of creative thinking, I think, not only in terms of how to do it, but how to use it. And so I would assume, as long as we're doing something with lights, that we're going to be doing something with extending the ability for people to enjoy it. And especially if you think about the promotional, but I also think about the community value of it. Not just for the tourism and, you know, blah, blah, blah that brings, but
yeah.
I like your idea, Mary. We used to be able to use the garage, but now the garage is so full of stuff, we can't use the garage anymore. Like all of us at home. But there may be something where we could talk about something with that space, too. Or we all could be in Jim's office drinking, not hanging on. So there may be something there.
But it has to be spiked.
All right. I don't really need a motion on that. I just want to have a discussion. I think I have a direction. I think I'm just going to put it up for the weekend, and I think that's all they're asking. I think it would be great.
You could probably make lots of comments about, we have no idea how this will look next year. Let's learn from this. Lots.
Next item is Mike Boss Park Performing Arts Pavilion. That's the band stage and weather protection.
So this has been talked about, another one that's been talked about for years, and this summer I attended quite a few concerts, and I saw that there is some issue even in the summer with winds and just, you know, whatever the weather is. What the chamber and a lot of the performers would like is some kind of shelter from the wind and rain. This would carry right into the Christmas event, which the chamber has booked Danny Vernon to come and do Elvis Christmas, which should be really fun. But he would like some kind of shelter. So Ray and I spent a lot of time with a canvas company that believes they can do two things. One, they can put a retractable awning on the water side that would cover and just crank down to cover that side. We've gone back and forth on what to do on the back of the stage, which gets the wind also. And the staff, all four of us were out there today kind of looking at it. And staff would really encourage the commission to adopt, if we go this way, the cheap route, which is to hang curtains on the back. There was some concern from individual commissioners that they could be subject to vandalism because they would just be curtains on the back. But Bob, being the ingenious guy he is devised a system where with a simple pelican hook, he can take it off and we can pull the curtains down and store them, which is much safer. So the retractable awning would stay up on the side and could be deployed anytime, but the back curtain itself, it would actually take probably an hour to deploy if we needed to do that.
So we'd take it down in the off season, right. The curtains, and then they'd be up for the
More stuff in the garage.
So that's the $6,000 option versus the $8,000 option. I think it will make that stage much more usable. There has been talk about putting plexiglass, and we, staff believes that would be the worst thing we could do is to enclose that with plexiglass. We think something that's softer would be better. So we're looking at Sunbrella, and staff unanimously picked Hemlock Sunbrella, which is about the color of your umbrella there, dark green.
Village green.
Dark green. Yeah. So I think it's a good idea. There's some urgency because Christmas is fast approaching, and all of this would have to be made to order.
So on the colors, I think the porch should have some colors. You know, like we, like the ferry buildings are all have a certain green or something. So if we can pick something that matches what we're doing on our other buildings, you know, when you do your thing there. So we have the same trim and we're basically in one theme and just whatever. And I think the green's a great color, but, you know, look at what else we have, like the restrooms and the trim for the building that we're going to modernize.
We had a long discussion about tan. We all like tan, but we thought it would get way too dirty and it'd be a maintenance nightmare.
I have a rider. This is something that's bothered me for a long time. When I see people sitting on that concrete bench by the ladies' room, waiting to get picked up in the winter, when the rain's blowing horizontal and they've got their luggage there and they're getting soaked, and there's no place else to go. So I'd like the staff to consider like a bus shelter, a small one, a small plexiglass three-wall device. Maybe we can get the one from up in the park, but that's kind of big. So that when people are sitting there waiting at that pickup point, that they have some shelter to be in the winter. And I saw that just coming back from Seattle in that rainstorm that we had. It was pretty driving rain. There was a person just sitting there just getting dumped on and trying to keep her luggage dry. And it reminded me that we're in that season, and I'd like staff to look at that. What options do we have? Small, you know, one or two people, and low cost, but I think we're long overdue for providing some shelter, because that is a pickup point for especially people from out of town who don't know where the bars are.
Do you need a motion to approve the weather protection for
I
the
do.
Stage?
I do. It's over my spending authority, so I need a motion.
So
I'll second.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
So to the bus shelter, if I could just for a second, because I really haven't publicly acknowledged John Clausen. We have budgeted $7,000 for two bus shelters to cover the Ventec machines. In meeting with John Clausen one night, we talked about the need for these shelters, and he said, I've got a whole yard full of them that are used. Would you be interested? So if you go by the yacht club, on the side of the yacht club, there are two bus shelters that John gave to us for free, transfer agency to agency. We have to put new plexiglass windows in them. So staff this winter is going to be painting them, putting new glass in them, and they'll probably cost us about $800 or $900 each versus $3,500 each. So I might go back to John and say, do you have any extra shelters that we might use for a third shelter? So.
What a gracious way of saying I'm one step ahead of you.
No, it's
it
just I want to acknowledge.
Like
I want to acknowledge Kitsap Transit because they've been a partner with us.
Yeah, that's
and
a great idea.
Really helped us because they don't use all those shelters and they're just in a yard over in Port Orchard.
That's terrific. Great. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Okay, we are at the end of.
Well,
yes.
Another question.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you. I wanted to just make one other comment about tan versus green versus plexiglass. I'm interested in hearing what staff's thoughts were about plexiglass. I would like to record that I think this, I was looking from a distance at the stage. There's so much tree cover there now that I think I really like the idea of green or something that goes with the greenery that exists rather than tan, which looks like a really ugly lot.
So unanimously, the four of us, Ray, Austin, myself, and Bob were out there, and they all picked green. Matter of fact, there's a sailboat that just came in today. It's green with a hemlock cover And they said, we want that color. And I said, I agree.
A standard umbrella car on it.
And so what was the reaction to plexiglass?
Plexiglass, two things. One is it's noisy, it rattles. Two, it's a hard surface, so for any kind of communication and sound. But third, for vandalization, people will just scratch it. They'll just. So I think this is a good option for protection and for softness.
I think when we were talking about the plexiglass option, it was just for something small to protect the electronics. Typically, the problem, one of the problems, they hook up all their amplifiers and such. And the idea was to best provide something for that. That's a little, that's a different application than we're talking about, you know, the comfort of the musicians. So that's when I remember hearing about it last.
Yeah, I had never heard about it, and I intuitively really hated the idea of plexiglass. So I really liked that there were good reasons to hate it.
Any more comments on item number four, which is? Okay, the next is staff comments. Is staff anything to present?
Staff does have a comment. Staff gets to announce the lucky winner. So the KCAC open house that we participated in, among many other, you know, great members of the community and the local economy, we were offering a raffle for an embroidered port logo fleece. We picked our two lucky winners, and those winners were Mr. Jerry Kirshner and Judy Plunkett. So we got them connected with their winnings, and they're both happy.
Judy was so funny today. She came into the office, and she has never won anything in her life. And I told her to go buy a lottery ticket. She was very excited.
Has Jerry Kirshner received his yet?
Yes. So I wanted to bring this up. I was going to put it as an agenda item. I'm not sure I need commission approval on this, but I wanted to at least talk about it. We've all been a little distraught that the Red Boat has not had any offers or showings. I believe that the broker that we have is just not the right broker. They're a good broker. They're just not the right broker. So our contract with them is up, and I would like to recommend that we use a different broker that specializes in passenger ferries. So there is one that's all they do worldwide, and they've got a great track record. Commissioner Hankey from Fort Townsend turned me on to this broker because he sold two of Pete's passenger ferries. So I believe now that the contract has expired with Pacific Boat, I'm going to move forward and work with Pinnacle to see if we can move this forward. The thing that I will need to come to the commission with is what our price should be, price setting. Right now, I'm just talking to Pinnacle and giving them all the inventory so they can come up with a proposal on what they believe the boat's worth. And I'll bring that back to you, hopefully on the 26th.
So we'll have an appraisal, and that's based on market value.
And I assume they're... price or their market value on it will incorporate the new zinc plates and the new bottom paint and the certifications and all of that sort of stuff.
I faxed him today, or I emailed him all of the certifications, all the COIs. He has all the documents now. He knows we're pulling, so he's going to be working those numbers up.
Sure. And the 88 reconfiguration, which may be important for some runs.
That's all I have.
Any other staff comments? Next is Commissioner reports.
I have nothing to report.
No, I have nothing to
add. Stakeholders, how did that go? I
was at the first part of stakeholders. I had to leave early because I was also on a panel down at the Leadership Kitsap Government Day, along with Commissioner Gelder and a school board member from Central Kitsap. So I was able to hear most of the presentation from Sean, is that her name?
Yeah, I can't remember.
About their efforts to raise funds to purchase the property from...
Parks and Rec Initiative.
Right.
Yeah. That's a large purchase. That's 2,000 acres that they're looking at purchasing. And my understanding is that would go into... a county park if they're successful, which I have lots of questions about, but it's kind of premature to worry too much about those till they get going. They have till July of 2017, I believe, to come up with the funds for that. And then, unfortunately, I had to leave, but Jim was there. I don't know if there was more that we...
No, just more of a discussion on the tourism aspect of it, which was great. But then we got into the county permitting process, and we all know where that goes when we have these discussions, so it went there.
It went there.
I guess the only thing I have is, what you've heard before is getting the initial meeting with our Hearthstone. Is that right? Heartland. So, before Christmas.
Yeah.
And just keep us posted on that. I realize the issue is with the Skirble letter, but I think we should be prepared for getting that on a schedule, because I think that's a priority. In my book, to get started on that process.
If you feel comfortable in having that meeting without a signed contract from CURB, I mean, we know they're going to fund it. It's just now we're in process, but there's nothing to say we can't have that initial meeting with Heartland to start this, if you'd like. We have a signed contract with Heartland.
Yeah.
I'm game for that. I think things get busy when you get into Thanksgiving and then on to Christmas.
Yeah, it's all different.
Then we got the budget to do so. I'd appreciate staff scheduling that as sort of a priority.
Okay. I did email Janae today knowing that this question would come up.
Oh, thank you.
She didn't respond.
Yeah, I think we should go forward with it then.
We'll see her small reports next week. Okay, good. So can we get together and set up a date? And our December meeting is, what's the date for that? Remember, I was asked, and the person who asked me is standing at the front desk, and I couldn't answer her. There's a lot of meetings in that December that are getting shuffled around. And
I was not prepared for that question.
Oh, sorry. It would have been the 29th, and the question is, did we want to...
Are we talking December or...
December, yeah.
December. I think we moved it to the 21st.
Okay, thank you.
That I have.
It is
of course.
Just wanted to that up because it was asked earlier. Okay. Could
we not go away from that entirely
sure.
yet? So what did we just say was the December meeting?
21st.
Wednesday the 21st.
And then Monday morning meetings during that week, that month? The 26th as well?
Probably not.
Okay, and then...
you know, we can still drop by and talk to you on the 26th and bring some eggnog.
Yeah, eggnog required. Okay.
Does anyone celebrate Boxing Day?
Do you go to a stand now between Christmas and New Year's? Do a stand now of any sort, so it's full staff hours?
Do we have a Monday morning meeting on the 17th of this month? And what about the 24th?
Yes. I don't think we're canceling any Monday morning meetings. I'm here.
Yeah.
I'll be there waiting. Whoever shows up and wants to talk, I'll be there.
I think the only possibility is rolling one into a special meeting if we want to do something like Hearts Land or something mm-hmm. like that and not have two meetings in the same week.
Right. Yeah. I know I won't be here on the 24th.
Okay. And Bruce, you're not going to be here on the 7th, did you say?
November 7th.
November 7th.
I will be gone that week.
And that's totally dependent on whether or not I have jury duty. So, okay. Thank you.
Great. I can begin with commissioner comments. Any public comment? To wrap it up.
Is the Foot Ferry for sale on Craigslist?
No. We list it with a broker exclusively because transfer of one of those boats is very complicated. So when you do that, it's sort of like selling your house and you turn it over to a broker.
I just heard that it was, and so someone told me they'd seen it on Craigslist.
Oh,
so
I haven't
maybe
seen it.
Maybe one time. I don't
know. Yeah, we didn't put it on. I didn't put it on Craigslist.
Okay, the next regular meeting is the 26th. We'll have a special meeting, no decision meeting, on Monday. That's for staff to get us up to speed on what's happened between now and then. And then we have a budget hearing on the October 26th as well. So that's an opportunity to address the budget. Yeah, it's in the budget. And that information will be posted on our website.
It is posted.
It is posted on our website. Is there any other business? Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. Good time.